Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you again. One thing to say as we get started here is you knew I was going to be the first speaker and you still showed up this morning. So if there's anyone to blame, look at yourself, all right? But it's good to be here. I've had a good time so far. It's been good fellowship. Appreciate the preaching. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us through Brother O'Neill and Brother Varghese here in just a little bit. And my job is going to be get you to ready for those things. Amen? 9:12 in the morning, I got to get you ready for what's coming next. So what we're going to do is I want everybody to stand up. We're going to do some jumping jacks. Okay, I'm just kidding. Some were about to do that. This is what happens when you don't know a guy like me. You never know what's coming. But we're just looking forward to what the Lord is going to do through the day. It's already been good. Appreciate you, Calvary Baptist Church, for opening up your building and your hospitality. It's been a blessing. And appreciate Faith Baptist Church and the vision that the Lord gave to Brother Teeter on this. And we trust the Lord is going to use this to help all of us. Amen. And especially those that might be dealing with some of the things that this was designed for. So we are going to go in our Bibles to Genesis chapter number 49. Genesis chapter number 49 and verse number 19. You can go ahead and stand with me this morning. Genesis chapter number 49, verse number 19. Brother O'Neill already mentioned something that that Brother Gibson mentions is about a short message. So I'm hoping to give you a good message, and that means it's got to be short, right? So we are going to just try to glean something from Genesis chapter number 49 and verse number 19. I'm going to go ahead and read it. We'll pray and ask the Lord to bless our time, and I'll explain more about what we're looking to get from Genesis 49 and verse number 19. The Bible says, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. I'm going to pray, and we're going to talk for a little while about when you feel overcome. Let's pray to our God in heaven. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the day and the time we have together in your house. God, thankful for this dear church. Thankful for all the people you brought into this place today. Thankful for those that will be listening to this. God, I'm wholly inadequate to deal with many of the matters that are intended to be dealt with here. So God, I pray that you would help us. We know you are wholly adequate to do all that needs to be done. And so God, I call upon you to help us to speak through me, Father, that it might not be my will accomplished here, but your will would be done. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Here in Genesis chapter number 49, many of you are probably familiar with the context of this. If you are not, Jacob is on his deathbed, and he's getting ready to leave this world, and he'll get ready to go into the next life. But before he does, he is going to gather his sons together. And in Genesis chapter number 49 and verse number 1, we're told there that he gathers his sons together. He calls them together so that he can tell them what will befall them in the last days. And so he deals with each one of these sons. And I've heard a lot of really good preaching out of these messages here, not just about what's going to happen with these boys and their future and their tribes and different things. But there's a lot of great personal application in this as well. And so for us, in a conference like this, there's many different things that people have faced. Many of you are maybe going through these things or have in the past. And you are dealing with multiple things concerning being someone that is maybe dealing with infertility or someone that has lost a child or like in this case, we could just think about all of us that we all lose battles in general in life. Whether they just be just trying to be a child of God and do some of the basic things that God asks for us from us, we fail in those things. And so in this, I want to try to glean a few things that we can learn from Gad and from this prophecy and a few other places in the scriptures about when you feel overcome, how this doesn't have to be the end of things for you. And so when you think about what is happening here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 5, verses 18 through 22, We read about Gad there, but here in Genesis 49, we are taught that Gad is going to be overcome. And it's not a maybe. He is going to be overcome. In 1 Chronicles 5, verses 18 through 22, we find when he goes into a battle there, he wins that battle. So he's a part of a great victory there. So that's not the place where he is overcome. But then down in verses 25 and 26 of 1 Chronicles chapter number 5, I won't take time to deal with all that in detail for sake of time, but in those verses, you'll find that he ultimately will face defeat. He will be overcome. His tribe in general will be taken into captivity there in 1 Chronicles chapter number 5. And so as the prophecy is given, maybe there's more that happens later to him, but there's certainly some places in the scripture, specifically in 1 Chronicles chapter number 5, where you can see that the descendants of Gad will ultimately be overcome. And so when you think about that, when you think about being overcome or feeling overcome or losing a battle or what have you, I want to think about a few things. First of all, when you think about this situation with Gad, we find that battles don't always seem fair. In the text back in Genesis 49, the Bible tells us there, when it's teaching about Gad, it says, Gad, a troop shall overcome. Well, a troop is many people. So for Gad, here he's standing here and his father Jacob is given a prophecy. And in this prophecy, one thing about this as well that I'm not going to deal with, but I'll mention it briefly, is he is being told in front of all of his brethren that he's going to be overcome. So not only is it discouraging, but there's a lot of things that are very humiliating in the Christian life. And for Gad, he's learning in front of his entire family, in front of all of his brothers here, that he is going to be overcome, but he's not just going to be overcome by another individual. It says that there's going to be a troop that overcomes him. You ever gone through things in life, maybe something you're going through right now, and you feel like the enemy specifically has a discouraging advantage over you? I've been through many things like that already just in my short Christian life, where you're going through something and you feel like, man, they feel like they've got the advantage here. This is discouraging to go through something like this. And in Psalm chapter number 73, verses 1 through 3, Asaph, a chief Levite musician, he kind of talks a little bit about this feeling that you can get when you deal with something like this. It says there in Psalm 73, verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Sometimes you can get discouraged by looking at the enemy and sensing they have an advantage because you're trying to be faithful of God and things are falling apart and it doesn't feel good and it's not what you intended. And it can be very discouraging, especially when you look at the enemy or those that are not of God and you see them prospering. That can be very discouraging sometimes. Even in something like we're talking about with raising children and things of that nature, if you don't have children, you're looking around, you can see others and look at them and say, man, how they're not even trying to live for God. And look at the children that they have. Look at the resources that has been given to them, and things that we go through can feel like that sometimes. John chapter number 15, verses 17 through 20, Jesus giving words to his disciples. He's just letting them know that in general, when you serve God, there's going to be a lot of things that seem like a very discouraging advantage that the enemy has. The Bible says this, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So the disciples are learning there just in general in the Christian life, when you're going out into the world and preaching the gospel and trying to live for God and things of that nature, there's going to be more of them than there is of you. And it's no different than what our own Savior faced. And so if he faced that, then we're going to face these things as well. But not only do we find this discouraging advantage here, but notice the discouraging announcement. It says that a troop shall overcome him. It's not a matter of if this is going to happen. It's when is this going to happen. They shall overcome him. And in the Christian life, in Proverbs 24:16, we'll all learn this, that no matter who you are, no matter what stage of life you're in, all of us as children of God, which are called the just because of what God has done in us, we are going to fall and fail in life. Proverbs 24:16 says this, "For a just man falleth seven times." For us, it's not a matter of if we're going to fail God, if we're going to fall, if we're going to get discouraged, but it's a matter of when is this going to happen? Because it is going to happen. It's going to come. But then notice another thing here. Not only do we see this discouraging advantage, we have this discouraging announcement, but there's this discouraging attack here. It says a troop shall overcome him. This means to invade, to attack, to overcome. You ever gone through your Christian life and you're just trying to live for God and you just try to do the things God asks of you and you just feel attacked? You just feel like the enemy is just completely somehow, in a moment's notice, has just completely overwhelmed you. It feels like that sometimes. But when we go through all of these things, even though those things are real, those feelings are going to happen, it seems like we are outnumbered and that we don't have the strength to get through the things that we face in this life. I want to encourage you and let you know, God's right here with us as we face these battles. And as we think about these battles we go through and maybe the discouragement that we face, I want you to know that when you go through battles and when things don't always go our way and when we don't handle them the way God wants us to handle them, that doesn't mean that in the future from that, there can't be fruit that comes from this. That's what we're going to think about next, is these battles, this discouragement that we face, it doesn't have to be fruitless. When we think about Gad, he won a battle and then he was overcome, taken into captivity. But later in Deuteronomy chapter number 33, when Moses is given a prophecy about the tribe of Gad, the Bible says this, Deuteronomy 33 verse number 20, it says, "And of Gad he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad." And then listen to this, "He dwelleth as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there is there in any portion of the lawgiver he was seated, and he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel." When you're reading about what Moses prophesied about Gad after what Jacob said about Gad, it looks like some things have changed in the life of Gad. He was told he's going to lose. He was told he was going to go through some battles and he was going to be overcome in one or many of those battles. And then Deuteronomy 33, it seems something has happened in the middle of all this. Even though he's lost, even though he's gone through a difficult moment, likely been discouraged. I mean, I just think about the fact that all that was said about him in front of his brethren. That's enough to be discouraged. That not only did he learn about that, but everyone else is seeing and hearing this. But yet he goes through this, and we read in Deuteronomy 33 what Moses says about him. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12, in verse number 8, here's what the Bible says about Gad that would happen later through his descendants. It says, "And of the Gadites there separated themselves unto David in the hold of the wilderness, men of might, men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains." In 1 Chronicles 12, in verse number 8, when the Gadites are being described, they don't look like a defeated people here. They don't seem like someone that has gone through a very terrible time, and they had gone through some terrible times. They had been defeated and they had been taken into captivity, but yet here they are. They're a pretty mighty group of men at this point in 1 Chronicles 12. What happened there? Well, when the Bible tells us there that they were fit for battle, this means that when they entered into this battle, because of what had happened to them before, they were now ready for what was going to come to them in front. So because of the loss that they had been through, because they had faced defeat and they weren't completely consumed in the defeat, now there's hope for fruit to come from this. They are able to use the things that they have learned in the battle. In fact, that is still something that continues to go on in our day when it comes to battles and the militaries and different things. Our military does a very good job at investigating things and using intelligence based upon things where people have been overcome. And they use that intelligence for our advantage so that we don't face those same type of issues when we go in, so that we're better equipped when we face the trials ourselves. So what I'm trying to encourage you with this morning is, whatever you're going through right now, first of all, if you're a child of God, God is right there with you through this. And one thing about being a child of God is, no matter what you face, you will never lose the privilege of being a child of God. You are just as much a child of God today as you were the day that you got saved. Even though you might have faced some very difficult moments from that day to now, God still cares about you as much now as He cared about you the day that He saved you. And when you go through battles, and even when you lose and don't handle them well, that doesn't mean that has to be the end of the story for you. In fact, when we go through battles, this helps us to really learn, to really understand how to use the things that we learn about. For example, you can sit in church, you can sit in Sunday school, and you can learn about prayer. And we can learn the right way to pray. And we know there is a right way to pray. And the Bible teaches about prayer. And you can learn about all these things, and you learn the doctrine of prayer and say, this is what's prayer. We should address our Father which art in heaven, and we should pray in Jesus' name, and we have to pray in the will of God when we're praying. We can talk about all those things. But you know when you're really going to know how to actually use that? Is when you go through a very dark moment in life. It's not that you won't do it before, but when things are dark, you're going to remember those things you learned about prayer, and all of a sudden you are going to begin to equip yourself to better use this resource and tool that God has given you called prayer. How about your Bible? Many of you, when you've gone through hard times in life, I bet if I talk to many of you, you've probably got a verse that in the middle of the darkest moment of your life, God helped you with. Where'd you get that? You got that in the dark moment. You already knew the Word of God was true, but in the middle of that dark moment, maybe after you lose a battle or whatever it is, you learn this verse and that sticks with you for the rest of your life. And you can think about it and recall it, and it'll encourage you, and it doesn't mean that it just erases everything that happens, but it helps you to have fruit in the future from what has happened in your past. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 3 through 6, Paul talks about the weapons of our warfare. And he says this, he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Paul here deals with the weapons of our warfare, and some of those weapons are when we have these things that come into our mind that we talked about last night. God has given us His power to be able to cast down the negative things and put in the good things in our mind, so that those negative things don't consume us and keep us from getting what God has for us in the future. In Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 10 through 20, many of you have learned about the armor of God. You learn about these different pieces of the armor and different things. But when you really start learning how to use these things is when you start going through difficult moments. Just like with the Gadites, they had gone through battle, they had won some battles, but they had lost. And then in 1 Chronicles 12, verse number 8, it tells us there that these men here, they know how to handle shield and buckler. What does that mean? That means they've been through some things and they know better how to use this thing that they had when they started, but maybe they didn't know how to use it then like they know how to use it now. And so as a child of God, when you go through things, God uses those times and those things that we go through to help us, so that way when the next thing happens, and there will be a next thing. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but when you read the Bible, you find that there's a next thing and a next thing and a next thing with faithful men and women of God. So what can we do? We can take those battles we go through and lose and things that we feel discouraged in and defeated in, and we can use those as a resource to bring fruit the next time we face a battle. But then let me give you this last thing this morning, and that is this: how we finish is what matters the most. It doesn't matter so much about what you have failed in the past or things that have gone on in the past. Those things are there, they're real, they won't go away, they won't leave your mind, they'll come back. But what really matters is what are you going to do in the future? Because what you do in the future means a whole lot, and it can really help you overcome a lot of those things that have happened in the past. In 1 John chapter number 5, verses 4 and 5, the Bible teaches this: as a child of God, we're all victors in Christ. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, growing up, I liked to play sports, but I wasn't the greatest at winning a lot of those sports. But as a child of God, I know this: I'm going to win. Amen. I'm going to be with my Lord one day. Why do I know that? Because I have believed what he said. The faith that I have placed in him is my victory. And so, child of God, I just want to give you a little encouragement, if I can. Whatever you're going through, you might not feel victorious right now, but you will get the ultimate victory one day. We will be with our wonderful Lord and Savior one day. But as we continue in this life, we can go through this life like the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says this. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We're learning from the Apostle Paul right here in this letter to Timothy that of all the things that he went through, because he was faithful to God, because he trusted in God and kept his eyes on God, through all that he went through, he ultimately accomplished exactly what God wanted him to do. And that is live for him despite the fact that he had failures. I mean, just think about Paul's life before he got saved. He was killing those same Christians he was trying to help later. And yet here we are, we're reading about God has a crown waiting for him. What are we learning here? That even when you lose, even when you fail God, he can still bring fruit from that. So for you, to encourage you, whatever you're going through, I don't understand everything you're going through. I can't stand up here and say you ought to do this, this, and this in a practical sense. But in a biblical sense, I can say you just keep your eyes on the Lord. Just keep trusting in him. Finish your course and trust in his power to do that. Because as we think about finishing a course, in Genesis chapter number 11, verses 31 and 32, there's a man there named Terah. Terah is the father of Abraham. Terah, unlike Gad, he had some trouble that he faced at the end of his life. And we don't know all the details about it. We're not given every detail about the life of Terah at the end. But we know this, in Genesis 11, verse number 31, Terah had gathered his family and he had started towards Canaan. But along the way, his son Haran, which is Abraham's brother, dies. And it happens, according to the Bible, right in the presence of Abraham, right in the presence of Terah, whether he got some disease and pined away in front of him or however it happened right before him. Maybe he died of some catastrophic event. But he saw his son die right in front of him. And something like that, that can be devastating. I mean, I remember my grandfather on my mom's side, he was he seemed to be in pretty good health, and then all of a sudden my uncle got lung cancer right after he retired from the fire department, and he didn't last just a little over a year after he retired. He had never drank, he had never smoked or anything like that, but yet end up with this lung cancer. And he had a mass in one side of his lung, and then he ended up getting pneumonia in the other lung, and he passed. And it wasn't long after that, maybe a little over a year, I believe, that after my uncle buried, or excuse me, after my grandfather buried my uncle, my grandfather would pass away. And it didn't seem like he was in very poor health, but it seems like maybe that was something that affected him. And here's what I'm getting at with Terah's in Genesis 11, verse number 31. He's headed towards Canaan, but we learn in verse number 32 that he never makes it to Canaan. He gets to a place called Haran, the name of his child that he has lost. He dwells there and he never leaves. What happened to him? He had gone through a very difficult thing in life, but that difficult thing seems to have overcome Terah. And he seems to have never gotten any victory over that. He went through it, he dealt with it, he was headed towards Canaan, but he never makes it. It's estimated that it was about 60 years that he stayed in Canaan, and he would later die in Canaan. What I'm saying is, when we go through difficulties, through the power of God, we can get through these things. But if we're not careful, the preacher talked about it as he was packing out. See, I've been hunting, but I've never actually killed a deer, so I don't know what it's like to pack out the meat. So I wouldn't know what it's like to have my backpack full of meat. But I do know this. I mean, I've done a few things. Like, I tried running a 5K one time, and I thought a 5K, here's how knowledgeable I was about running. I thought a 5K and a marathon were the same thing. So I started training for this thing, and I thought, man, who can do this? A 5K, 3 miles? This is crazy. And as I did that, I learned that I would go and I'd run, I'd make some progress, but then I'd get home and I'd open up the pantry, and all of those things that were making my side hurt when I was out there running are just glowing in the pantry. And I'm like, man, I really want that, but I don't need it. But I remember as time would go on and I would face the encouragement that my flesh was giving me to partake of these things, like these Little Debbies. I'm a sucker for Little Debbies. Little Debbies and soda, those things are in opposition to someone that wants to run a 5K. They will not help you. But the more that battle went on, the more that I gave in. And when it came the day to run the race, I was in worse shape that day than I was when I started preparing for this. What happened? Well, things got difficult, but instead of just powering through it through the encouragement that I've gotten and the teaching and things of that nature, I just sat down. I got discouraged, and literally while I was running, I sat down. I mean, there was a guy there that was about 25 years older than me, and he was having to tell me to come on. I thought for sure I'd be the one dragging him, but that's not how it worked. What I'm trying to say is, when we go through things, there's going to be a temptation when things get hard to sit, to dwell, and to wallow in that pain. And just because you go forward doesn't mean, like some say, you need to forget about that. You're not going to forget about it. But you can learn from that and benefit from those things to help you be better for God in the future. David said this in Psalm 23, verses 4 through 6, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Then he says this, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And here's that part in the song that I can't sing, it gets so high. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But as he's writing that, in the beginning of that, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Here's the idea. He's in a dark moment in life, but he's not sitting in that dark moment. He's trying to get through this dark moment. He is walking through it, trying to get to the other side of this, because he knows that God is with him and God can help him and God can give him the strength. But there is a temptation to sit down. There's a temptation to stay right where you are in your mind or whatever it is that you're going through. But then in Psalm 119, verse number 71, this is what I'm going to leave you with this morning. The Bible says this, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." That word afflicted means troubled. "That I might learn thy statutes." You know, I didn't understand what that meant until I went through a difficult moment. And now I recognize when things get difficult, that's really where God can help me. And if we'll do what God wants us to do, and it's not as easy as it might sound in a message like this. It takes effort, it takes work, it takes daily intention to do these things. But if we will put the effort in that God wants us to put in, we will get to the other side of this and be able to look back and say, "God, I appreciate you putting me through this. Because I learned how to trust you." But before we go through these difficult moments, sometimes we rely on ourselves. We rely on our own strength, our own philosophy, our own plans and things of that nature. But sometimes God has a different plan. And for me, I know that God's plan is always better than my plans. Even when I didn't like it, when I started into His plans, there's been several times like that. But as I have gone through the Christian life and continue to go, and if the Lord tarries His coming, hopefully for many days more, God will allow me to continue to serve Him. I pray that it's my accomplishment and yours that at the end of this life we can say, we did what you wanted us to do. We got through this, not through our strength, but by faith, trusting in you and your plan for our life. When it comes to the battles that we face and the difficulties that we go through, when you feel overcome, don't let those things produce no fruit. Let God use it to produce tremendous fruit, and He can if you will allow Him. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the day and the time we've had together. God, thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning and to be with these wonderful people in this dear church and the multiple churches that are represented. God, we pray that whoever's here, that Father is in the middle of that dark moment. Dear God, I pray that you'd comfort their heart. I pray that you'd give them the strength to continue on. God, I pray that you would reveal and make it abundantly clear that you're right there with them to walk them through this. And help them to trust you that we might see in the future that you are with them and these things that they have gone through are not fruitless. Help us all, we pray, to accomplish your will, and to do it we need your strength. And we ask it in Jesus' name.